I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, Sanjit Sethi. He's Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. Welcome.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
It's great to be here. And here means we are actually at the Santa Fe Art Institute in the library due to the wonders of pre-recording technology. And we are talking about an event that's coming up that has to do with something that you have been addressing as the Art Institute for the last several months, and it's all about food justice. What's this program about?
Sure. Since last September, we've focused on a topic that we think is near and dear to many people that live in northern New Mexico, which is the topic of food justice and food security. And we've been able to bring an incredibly talented and gifted group of artists in residence since that time to focus on various intricacies around the territory of food justice and food security. And many, if not most of them, have worked in collaboration with local artists, community organizations, activists, educational institutions. And so this June 20th event is really the culmination of a lot of the work that we've been doing, and it's a chance for us to celebrate some of the local activists and organizations that have really been involved in this key subject.
And we're going to be talking to some of the artists who are involved in this in just a moment. Now, on Saturday, June 20th, that's actually tomorrow, from 11 to 3, here at the Santa Fe Art Institute, there's going to be an event with a reception and a lunch and workshops. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just an opportunity for us just to celebrate the work that we've done. Unfortunately, we've maxed out at capacity. So I wish I could say that we're advertising it for more, but we're currently full up. There may be some limited seats available, so people may be canceling, so feel free if people want to come to the door. But I have to say that as of right now, our invitations have maxed capacity.
All right.
But it's an opportunity still for individuals that are going to really hear from what our artists in residence have done, and just to celebrate some of the work. We'll have an ongoing slideshow of what we were doing, and it's actually a pivotal moment for our organization too, because it coincides with the launch of a campaign to specifically try to rehabilitate some of our spaces at SFAI to do more and more of this type of community programming so we can do it more often.
What have you learned about food in the last several months?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the major things I've learned about food in the context of northern New Mexico is that it's a complex cultural subject as much as it's a socioeconomic subject, and that really diverse approaches from the poetic to the practical, from the design-oriented to the installation-based are really needed to continually address this subject. We've had some incredibly rich conversations. You'll hear today from everything about cricket protein to ideas around permaculture and hunting. And it's a really rich topography, if you will, of what it means to address inherent inequities that exist within the food production system.
Have you changed the way you eat or think about where your food comes from?
You know, absolutely, personally, in the sense, I mean, I think that I've always been someone that really loves to cook and really enjoys to know where my food comes from. And I think that if there's a community that's focused on local and local food production, it's got to be individuals in northern New Mexico. I've had an opportunity to meet with farmers and to eat what they grow and to go ahead and talk with people that produce everything from that raise sheep, and to go ahead and talk to other individuals that do all sorts of things and see how that really is contextualized within what it means to kind of live a vibrant life here. And in particular, I've been impressed with the exchange that our artists in residence have come and provided for that. Their ability to come in here and inject our community as an SFAI community with real outside perspectives has been really life-changing.
Sanjit Sethi is Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, and we turn now to some of the other residents at the Santa Fe Art Institute who are talking about food. I'd like to welcome Jessica Frelinghuysen. She is an artist, a resident at Santa Fe Art Institute. She's from Detroit and is here for about a month. Welcome.
Thank you.
So tell us about the work you're doing. It has a lot to do with plants and people's relationship to plants.
Yeah, I'm really interested in this kind of symbiotic relationship that I think in the future will continue to increase between plants and people. And so the project that I brought here with me is an ongoing project I've been doing since 2010 called Germination Core. And it revolves around plants and education and teaching younger students how to actually care for plants. It revolves around a design that I made called plant backpacks. And these are backpacks that are made from community members using resourced backpacks that we actually grow plants and seeds in their classrooms. And they watch grow and they take around with them to different classrooms and put the backpack in the sun and watch the seeds grow for about a month. And then I come in and do a series of workshops with them, resulting in a plant parade where we take their plants in the backpacks from their school to a local community garden and plant them back into the earth to give back to the community.
So it's funny because when you think of plants, the last thing you think of is portability. I mean, yeah, maybe your little African violet can be moved from point A to point B, but particularly food plants, you don't think of that way at all.
Right. So to me, I think I'd like to foster that relationship between humans and plants, and I think this is a good way to do that because they do take care of the seed as if they were holding it on them. So there's something that happens between the body and them naming their plant and having kind of maybe a more fantastical relationship than they would if it was originally grown in the garden. But it's something that, the schools that I work with are primarily inner city schools. So they don't have gardens at home most of the time or have any kind of green space for them. So this idea that you can actually take a plant with you someplace, it's kind of, artistic, but it works for them. And I've done the project in many different cities.
Plant as puppy.
Plant as puppy, yeah.
Do they name them?
They name them. They have little name tags for them. And sometimes they don't want to give them up, but they usually have two inside of the backpack. So they keep one and they give one back to the community. Yeah.
So how do you, do you follow up? How do you see these young people's lives changing as a result of this?
Well, I haven't gone back to the actual schools that I've worked with, except for the school in Detroit. But the teachers tell me that the students have a greater relationship with actual growing things, and they'll work the plants over the summer and into the fall with their after school and summer programs, and so they'll actually see the whole life cycle from germination to eating the food on the plant. And I think that's really important for kind of this knowledge of where our food comes from.
What are the actual plants that you're growing?
It's all dependent on the location and what the gardens that we're working with would like to grow. So we've grown everything from flax to peppers to cabbage.
So they get to plant a seed or a seedling and then eventually eat.
Yes. Yeah. That's the idea. Mm-hmm.
Do you have like kids really not know? I mean, I've run into kids who think that food comes from cans.
Yeah. Some of the workshops I do in the classroom addresses what kind of food grows on plants and what other kind of food they would like to see grow on plants. So we do drawings of like hamburger plants and things like that. But eventually they understand that, this bean makes another bean after the life cycle. So I think in areas that, again, like I've done it in Pittsburgh, where the students do not have their own gardens. And I've also done it in North Carolina, in rural North Carolina, where most of the students are familiar with plants growing into a food source. But I think just highlighting that whole process has been really interesting and valuable.
What are your hopes for this project? What would you like the kids to take with them?
More of a relationship to actually growing things on their own as they grow throughout life and having a better understanding of where our food comes from. A lot of people don't, beyond plants too, don't understand that meat in the market comes from actual animals. And so I think they'll have a better, relationship and knowledge about how to make their world a better place in the end.
Jessica Frelinghuysen, thanks for being with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'd like to welcome now back to the Radio Cafe, Christy Green. She's an artist in residence here at the Santa Fe Art Institute, and she's the owner of the landscape design firm Radical, which is on 2nd Street here in Santa Fe. Welcome.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's good to be back.
So you're doing such interesting work at Radical, and as an artist and as a person who's really looking at food and the issues of food and plants and landscape, what have you been up to here as a resident at the Art Institute?
Well, it feels like a lot of everything. It's been a great opportunity to be here at the Art Institute, and it's actually beyond what I had imagined. I had a proposal and thought I knew what I was going to do, which I am still doing, but there have been all kinds of great collaborations with other organizations that have sort of cropped up. So one of the most exciting things was, or a few of them, were working with kids and education and working with DeVargas middle school kids and working with the La Tierra kids up in Española and also working with Tewa Women United up in Española. And mostly, some of it's very hands-on and more practical, like with the Tewa Women United. I mean, it's beautiful and it's also on the ground and it's poetic because it involves language and art and ceremony. And then like with the DeVargas kids, we did art pieces that were representative of plant bodies, like physical bodies and human bodies, trying to make the connection or look at the connection between people and how we treat our own bodies and what we feed our bodies and also how we treat the earth and how we treat the earth and feed the earth or don't.
It must be an incredibly great moment of insight when a kid, you know, young person who's not really used to this stuff, starts to really look at what a plant body is and what their own body is and draw those connections.
It blew my mind because there were 85 kids that day. It was a really packed workshop, and I was surprised at the connections that children made that I didn't even know that they would. And so, for instance, when they did a sculpture of a human body or did a sculpture of a plant and they got up to talk about it, they would all talk about the relationships actually and the support system or the network of living beings. So they would talk about family members. It wasn't just an individual human body or an individual type of plant. They would talk about the soil microorganisms. They would talk about the mushrooms or the shade above this particular plant. And so it was amazing that most of them focused more on whole relationships than individual bodies, which I didn't say anything about. I tried to give as little a prompt as possible just to see. I had no idea what they would come up with.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that kind of like networked or holistic thinking more in the culture right now? I'm sort of thinking back to when I was in the fourth grade. I don't know if we would have made those connections ourselves.
I don't know. It's a good question. I know we talk about it a lot, but I don't know that these students, and of course, this is the first time I met them, so I don't know what their curriculum is or what they've been talking about, but it felt very pure and unprompted. It didn't feel like something they were regurgitating. It just felt like this really visceral aha of course, if we're talking about plants, we're not just talking about the leaf and the root. It's actually if we're asking specifically what feeds that organism, human or plant organism, they realize, and in the physical act of making an art piece, we have to put those pieces on that feed this thing. So what feeds a human is very much emotional as it is physical. And they would articulate that in a three-dimensional form with just whatever we had around the room to utilize to making art pieces. And it was really amazing.
So they're making art pieces in response to the plants that they're studying.
Well, they made this. This was just this day where we actually took squash and the flesh of the squash, the seed of the squash, we ate the squash in like four different forms. And then we took the seeds of the squash and planted them. So then again, trying to make that literal and physical connection of the life cycle and showing that, because like Jessica was saying, a lot of kids maybe don't understand or know that a plant makes itself its own system of propagation and nourishment, and even like what a whole squash looks like versus the soup. And then, so this was, they did this piece, the art piece, and then they all took home their pot with the seed seed in it that they could take care of. And I said, now you remember, right? Tell me what it is that this seed needs or this plant needs to thrive. And then think about that. Maybe is it possible something you would think about when you water that? You think, well, I need to water the seed today. Do I need to water myself today? Or how do I take care of my body? Or, and then also, what am I going to do on the earth that I walk from home to school, maybe, you know, or trash? Does it make you feel differently or think differently about the body around us?
What are you doing with the Tewa group?
So I'm working with, I just love that group, by the way. And last night I was lucky enough to be a part of the meeting. The Community Services Division passed the project on, and we'll be reproposing it to City Council next week. It's working with Beata Sosi Pena of Tewa Women United and Scott Davis. And Beata had this wonderful vision of she was calling it edible food forest, but then as we looked at the design, it's actually more of an oasis and less of a forest. Part of it's a forest. It's a really steep slope between Española City Hall and Valdez Park in Española. And she had this idea of why can't we, if we're devoting plants or devoting water to something, why can't we grow plants that are actually a living message or a living teaching about medicine and food and how these plants and different parts of these plants are used by different cultures. And so we did the design for the plantings on paper because, of course, we have to have an actual construction set and budget to go with this is how this gets implemented. And then what we're hoping to do then is community planting days and planting together, like at least three cultures planting together, Hispanic, Tewa, and Anglo. And all the plants, as they're planted, will be talked about and also represented in those three languages. So it's an opportunity to learn about landform grading, passive water harvesting, this really progressive type of irrigation system, and then, of course, these plant guilds.
Do you find that there are certain cultural traditions, at least in Tewa culture or Hispanic and Anglo as well, around planting?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And timing of planting, ceremony or prayers that get said or demonstrated around planting. Even last night we were walking the slope, Beata and I said, oh, there's such and such, and I named the species and the species name and then an English name. She said, well, we call it this. And then what the association is of that, like she was talking about her son being able to identify that plant and eat the flower buds of it. And I think of it as a tea. And so how it's planted and then also when it's harvested and how it's harvested and then talked about, it's really interesting the different references that the cultures have. And I'm looking to her to learn her. I have one very limited perspective on plants, which is more about botany than I would say my cultural or my ceremonial type experience with plants has to do with food. And so it'd be interesting to see how hopefully we can learn from each other.
Christy Green, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
I'd like now to welcome two collaborating artists here at the Santa Fe Art Institute, Rodrigo San Martin, who goes by the acronym RSM, and Autumn Chiotti. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Really glad to be here.
So the two of you are working together, and one of the things that you are doing is thinking about the music that crickets make. You, RSM, are a musician, and the protein that they have as a food source. How did you guys come to this project?
Well, I am from Mexico City originally, and in Mexico there is a huge culture of eating insects, particularly grasshoppers and some beetles, some bugs, and ant larvae. And that was always part of my culture, but, you know, not part of my diet, but that's something that you see in the market. And then,
but you didn't grow up eating them?
Just like a snack, you know?
Like a snack, like you would cook them?
No, they sell the bags in the market, and then you just grab them as chips.
Okay.
Grasshoppers, particularly, which we call chapulines. And I was thinking about these things in America, how insects, all of them, are seen as pests or disgusting, non-wanted animals, and trying to talk about the practice of eating insects in different parts of the world and how to bring that to a Western context. And I think that we found a way to kind of tear down those mental blocks by appealing to their chirping and the beautiful aspect of their singing and the aesthetic element of that.
The cricket sounds that you've been recording, that was the music that we heard right at the beginning when we introduced you guys. How do you record that?
Well, there is a species that is very, very common here in the area, which is the Grillus pensylvanicus, and that is very easy to just catch here and microphone it. The rest of the species, I found them in online scientific databases, and I realized, and we realized, that their chirping is so different. They have very different personalities, each one of the species. So I'm trying to make a sound classification of that and transform that into music.
And at a certain point, you guys will be able to hear a cricket and say, I know what kind that is.
Right.
And perhaps I know how it tastes.
Cricket experts.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the breaking of the taboo of insect eating is something that I don't know how far we've gotten with that, at least here in the United States or in Western Europe, but it seems like that could happen very, very quickly if we're hungry.
Yeah, and it is already happening. There is like some areas in the States where there is already a boom, especially the Bay Area and in the Northeast. Several companies have come up with cricket flour-based energy bars, cookies, and other goods. And there is people that is willing to, you know, to try that, especially based on the nutrition fact.
Are they good for you?
Exactly. It's the best protein that you can have.
No way.
Yes. And not only that, it is the best digestible protein.
The most available.
Very interesting. Yeah, I had a grasshopper infestation in my yard and my dog ate all of them.
He's a super dog now.
Yeah, very healthy.
She knew what she was doing. Now, Autumn, what is your part in this project?
Well, I'm a performance artist and a visual artist, and I work with a lot of ritual in my work, and I think we're crossing a lot of boundaries. We're doing kind of, this is really a what would you call that, like a really cross-disciplinary project, because we're trying to hit young people especially on all fronts. You know, you've got the science, you've got the math, and then you've got the art, and so...
And the cricket music.
And the music. And so what I'm doing is creating a sort of performative ritual, sort of in honor of food, because I think that, like everyone was saying, we've lost our connection in this country, at least I know, with where our food comes from. And you know, you get a hamburger at McDonald's and you don't know that came from, so many people don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
Or in addition,
nobody knows where it comes from. It could come from Brazil.
Right. People were saying baby carrots, that's, they come in a bag. Where do they come from? They're in the bag. But it's also that that the respect for it, because we in this country, again, you know, we have this model of factory farming, which is horrendous, and nobody knows where that comes from, so I think that being able to learn how to raise your own crickets in your house and have a relationship with that, not only is it sustainable and low cost and all of that, but it fosters that feeling of you're taking part in the process. And I think I'm kind of taking that to the nth degree as sort of a modern ritual performance to create connection between people and create just a feeling of a gathering and respect, and you know what I mean? So that's where I come in. And I'm also creating totems, and it's sort of creating a call to the crickets and thanking them for their serving us.
So I want to thank you all for being with us here on the Radio Cafe. And once again, all of this is happening at the Santa Fe Art Institute, which is on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. If people want more information, they can go to sfai.org. They can also call 505-424-5050. Thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.